and all of you are here. It's great. I'm so glad that you came. And good, you're laughing. That's great. I need lots more of that. So well done. If you didn't read my bio, I just thought I would mention I do have three crazy Burman kiddos that live in my house. I have a 15 and a half year old, David III, and he's a sophomore. He has his permit, so you can all pray for me about that. Derek is in eighth grade, and Kate, my fiery redheaded girl, is a fifth grader. I just want to say, Joanna Gaines must be she would be very impressed. I mean, can you not say? I mean, you girls are really spoiled. There's some great decorators around here. I really love it. I have been incredibly encouraged to see this great gathering of women. I mean, I think it is a taste of what heaven will be in the future right here on earth. It is really encouraging for me to see all generations out there in front of me. All you young ones that have come, we love you, and it is great to see you wanting to have a deeper relationship with the Lord and coming. And so I encourage you, you are a real blessing to all of us. And I love seeing all the different generations. I've gotten to see people that I haven't seen since I was a little girl. One lady said, "Wow, you've changed." I'm also very impressed that I really feel like this conference has been done with excellence. And that is something that is something that's always on my heart, that we do things that we do for the Lord with excellence. And so I just think that from the very littlest details to the greatest things have been done really well. Our musicians have been fabulous. They've brought me to tears many times, so job well done on that. And I want you to know that you are all very spoiled. I really, really believe this, because there are a lot of women across these states that would love to come to something like this. So it's great to have you here, and I hope that you really do receive encouragement while you are here. All right, let's go ahead and go to our passage there in Mark 12. And you probably don't even really need it in front of you because you've heard it so many times. But last night we talked about that we love God above all. Say it with me. We love God above all. We must love him above all. And today we're going to talk about, this morning, we're going to talk about that we must love God with all. All right? Say it with me. We must love God with all. And so we're going to look at the four different things: our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. So the first one is with all my heart. With your whole heart, not just the leftovers. Now, I know that there's got to be more of me out there than just me. So how many of you women love leftover nights? Hey, yeah. I love leftover night. My husband hates leftover night. He does not like leftover night. But I love leftover night. However, in this passage, Christ is definitely saying that we are not to give him the leftovers. We're supposed to love him with our whole heart, to our utmost capacity. We're supposed to throw our whole self into loving him. As a brand new youth pastor's wife a long time ago, I grew up in, I don't know what you would say, I grew up in a regular family. I grew up with a dad who worked at the post office and a mom who was a bookkeeper. And so when I became a youth pastor's wife, actually, my last semester at Faith, I finally was like, if I'm dating a guy that's going to be a pastor, crud, I might be a pastor's wife. Maybe I should take a women in ministry class. I don't know. So I took that class, and so we got out to Elyria, Ohio, and we were working with teenagers, and I'm just telling you right now, my teenage years were rough, and some of you already know what that was because you saw it in me a long time ago. They were rough years, okay? The braces, the glasses, I don't know. It was just a rough time. So here I am, and I'm working with teens, right? And I just didn't really understand this ministry thing, because my parents had served faithfully in their church. And so I thought, you know, if you did one thing at church a week, you were really faithful. And my husband grew up in a pastor's family, so they just lived at church. They just did ministry all the time, 24/7. That's what they did. And so we got into youth ministry, and I was like, well, we had a youth activity last weekend. Why do we have to have a youth activity this weekend? When do we get a free Saturday? I mean, come on. And as a newly married couple, my husband, and praise God, he doesn't do this very often to me because I would die. But he sat me down and he was like, I'm just going to tell you, Jen, if you jump all in, you're going to be so much happier. And I didn't totally understand what he meant, but I do now. Because once I finally just took that, my calendar is not my own. My time, my money, my family even is not my own. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to love him with all of my heart. Then I have had since then a great ride. Yeah, there's bumps and bruises and things that happen along the way. But I have learned a little bit more of what loving the Lord with all my heart is. It is what women do, okay? So when you maybe have moved into a new home or a new apartment or something like that, and you get in there, and I mean, you have to clean everything, right? There shouldn't be a fingerprint left from the previous owner. You're washing walls, and you're scrubbing out cupboards. It's the only time you're going to do it for the next 20 years, so you better do it right the first time. And at least it's your germs, it's not theirs anymore. And so you attack it, right? You're full force attack. You've never cleaned so long in all your life, and you're all in. And when we bought our house in Niles, Ohio, it was covered in wallpaper. No, not just like a little border, you know, whatever. I had stripes, apples, and flowers in my kitchen, yes. I had double layer wallpaper. It was fabulous. But that's not it. Have any of you, I want to know, have any of you had your front, the back of your front door wallpapered? Hey. Okay, so there, like if you went down the hallway that was striped, you'd have to be like, and there were no windows in the door. Okay, no windows. So it'd be like, where's the door? So when we finally were able to purchase our house, we lived there a year. We had to rent for the first year. And when we finally purchased that house, and my husband was talking to the realtor on the phone, I just kind of put my hand over on the wall and I went, rip! And I attacked that house that was full of wallpaper. And this is the kind of love with all of my heart that we're supposed to have for the Lord. We throw our whole self into it. However, there's this big problem. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that our heart is deceitful above all things. I mean, he even uses the word all there, right? All things. And then he uses a very descriptive word, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Ladies, there's a war going on in our hearts. It's between the selfishness and God. I'm selfish with my time, my body, my comfort, my talents, my money. I'm selfish. And so we have this war. So how do I love God with all my heart? Well, some of you heard this last night. We keep his commandments, right? We do things God's way. And when we do things God's way, he blesses us. It makes sense. We should really try it sometime. But we're supposed to obey him. And it's like I said last night, if you love me, keep my commandments. My favorite phrase to my husband, if you love me, keep my commandments. Use that when you go home today. I'm just teasing. Maybe not. But my daughter, when she was younger, you know, you have the inevitable, you put them in their own bed. It's like the worst time ever. Because you know they're going to get out of their bed. And my daughter did not want to love me and keep my commandments. And she was not blessed. And I will tell you, I mean, actually, is Tanya Hake still here? Okay, there she is. So she and her son ended up marrying my sister-in-law, okay? And our families go way, way back. And I saw her for the first time after a really long time, and she walked up to me, And she put, I don't know if she remembers this, but she put her finger under my nose and she said, "You were the naughtiest little girl ever." I was like, "What? Me?" She's like, "When we were at Faith, you would get out of your bed and your daddy would chase you around the coffee table. He'd spank you, put you back to bed. You'd get out, you'd run around the coffee table. Tanya, I want you to know I've been paid in full. I've paid it in full. I'm not even lying to you." One night, I was just like, you know, I got to make this fun because it's really getting annoying and really hard to love my daughter right now. It was 17 times. I'm not even joking. And she was punished, I promise you, every time. If you've ever messed with a redheaded two-year-old, you know what I mean. She was not blessed at all that night, that's for sure, because she did not keep the commandment. She was not blessed. Another way that we can love God besides obeying him is surrendering our will to him. Surrendering our will to him. This does not come naturally to us, does it? Just ask your husband or your closest friend, and they'll say, no, it doesn't come easy to you. We will try to make it happen our way, right? And the classic example really is of Sarah in the Bible, right? She wanted a baby. She was even told she was going to get a baby, and yet she tried to do it her own way. And how did that work out? No, we're still reaping the consequences of that, I think. So she tried to do it her own way. When we surrender our will, then we love him with all our heart. Spending time in his presence, that's the next one. How do I love God with all my heart? Spend time in his presence. If you truly love someone, you'll spend time with them. And for the sake of your marriage, family, ministry, fellow employees, friends, spend time with Jesus every day. I'll do a slight plug. It's a newer one, 15 Minutes with the Master by Juanita Purcell. It's the one I'm going through right now, and I would highly recommend it, especially to a busy mom. It's really excellent, and I found it really, really beneficial. The last way I've thought of to love God with all my heart is to pray without ceasing. And if you came to the prayer workshop, you heard this already, but if you want to see God answer prayer, I mean, if you really want to see it, pray all day. Like, just little things. Like, right down here, I prayed many different times for many different things before I came up here. Pray for a good hair day. Pray for, you know, you to not blow your top at your son. Pray that you will respond to your boss in the right way. All those things throughout the day. And I promise you, if you pray without ceasing, you're going to be mind blown, because God's going to hear those prayers and he's going to answer them. I even pray for energy. I really do, because I'm a mom and I'm running all the time. And so praying for energy definitely is one that I've prayed for before. All right, our second one, with all my soul. Ooh, doggies, women have soul. Yes, they do. It is the seat of all of our feelings, our desires, our affections. It just oozes from our pores. Now, some of you are blessed. It's not as bad for you. But for me, it's like a never-ending sea of emotion for my poor family. And I have a daughter, as you have heard, and she exudes quite a bit of soul, sister, in her as well. So how do I love God with all of my soul? Well, I love him with my passions. What are you passionate about? It is not cooking for me, but it might be cooking for you. Baking, cleaning, house projects, music, kids, career, ministry at church, your hobbies, whatever you're passionate about, use that to love God with all your soul. Love him in how I talk. Have you ever met or have a friend that she is like Debbie Downer? Ugh, that is the worst. You're like, it'll be okay. No, it won't. I know, I've been a little down lately. Like, all the time you're down. Oh, you know what? Women are supposed to be energetic. I believe that we are. If we're filled with the Spirit, we are supposed to be. And so you can use that little love for the Lord with all your soul by being energetic in how you speak and how you talk. Love him with whatever you do with your hands. with those household tasks, with that ministry at church, serving others. Do it with that soul. You know, I love to turn on the tunes, the music when it's time for chores on Saturday. I think all my kids hate it, but I love it. And I turn on the music and I try to make it fun. I mean, I don't know. But do it, serve the Lord with some soul, you know, with some real passion, with some real joy. Love him in how you use your talents. Man, some of you are great cooks, and you can be such a blessing to the rest of us. If you need to use that talent, I'll be happy to help you with that. We are the famous Baptist world, so there are constantly things to bake and cook for, and some of you are great at that, and so keep up the good work. Some of you are really good and talented at sewing. Not me. My mom tried for years. It did not work. Crafting, singing, playing instruments, playing sports, hobbies. I believe that God wants us to love him with all of our soul, even down to all of those things. He created them, so we should use them that way. Love him with your soul and how you react at home. I am stinky at this. I mean it. It just like flies out of my mouth, and I really need to get better at that. I will say that the Lord kind of, he really, really worked on me. A couple summers now, we've had some interns that have lived with us for the summer. It's like having Jesus in your house. It is really terrible. Like I just wanted to come down and be like, why aren't you in the van yet? Get in the van. It's time to go to church. And I have to come down and be like, oh, all of you, please. Get in the van. Because that's how I always say it. I'm telling you, those are some rough summers. By the time those interns left, I was like, oh, praise God, I can go being back to a sinner. Whew. Dave and I need to have a real argument. Let's get it on. Oh, my goodness. I think my children and my husband love us to have interns. They're like, yep, we'll take one. There might be something to that. I better check with him about that. Love him in how we react to challenges. Our world is watching us. Our children are watching us. Our grandchildren are watching us when there are challenges. And one thing that my husband, he's like this visionary kind of guy. He likes to think about all these great ideas. And so we kind of have this joke. Well, I think it's a joke. I don't know if he thinks it's a joke. But whenever he has one of these harebrained crazy ideas, I like to pull out my shotgun. I don't even know how you do the sound. What's the sound? I don't even know how to hold it, but whatever. And I like to just shoot that puppy out of the sky. Bam, it's gone. But that's not how it's supposed to be, right? It is not. Okay, loving God with all our mind. Third point, love God with all your mind. Okay, so our mind, it actually weighs 3 to 4 pounds. Mine might only weigh a pound because there's not a lot up there, but it's that gray matter, you know, that's between our ears. And actually, I think it's a woman's worst enemy. It's mine. It's one of my worst enemies. I think Satan likes to dig down into that mind and just mess around with it. I really think he does. You know, if you want to know how a woman's mind works, just think about maybe a million negative thoughts all at one time, and you pretty much nailed it. Yeah, you pretty much nailed it. We can be the negative Nellies of all, I think. Our minds are just, they're actually, the human mind has 50 to 70,000 thoughts per day. 3,000 an hour. 50 in a minute. My husband would say, no, that's like 500 in a minute. our minds are just that ticking time bomb all the time. I mean, even right now, you're like, you know, it's just constantly going all of the time. So take every thought captive. That's the first way to love God with all your mind. Take every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, bringing into captivity every thought, every single one. It's really cool in our decorating right now because there's tons of this stuff, right, on Etsy. I promote shopping on Etsy. I think it's really fun. So if you haven't been there, now your mind can think about that. But you know how Pastor Capon was talking about this morning that we're supposed to keep it in front of our kids' eyes all the time? I mean, there's so many. I promote shopping at Hobby Lobby as well. There's a lot of cute signs. Just tell your husband, the speaker said I need to keep it in front of me. Well, on your seats when you came in, I made this little card for all of you. Well, I didn't make it. Somebody did. I ordered this card for you because I don't make things. And I hope that you can put it somewhere to keep it in front of you. Because the next way that you can take every thought captive is to memorize Scripture and to really keep that in front of you. So I hope that you put it somewhere in your Bible, in your car is a good place, on your mirror. Don't put it on your child's mirror, your husband's mirror. Put it on your mirror. This is for you. And keep that in front of you. Because our minds need to be filled with God's word. They do. It's the only way for our minds to think correctly. Have an accountability partner. That's a great way to take every thought captive, is to have a friend that keeps you on track, right? And it's good to have a friend like that. I have a lot of those friends, and my best friend is here today. Liz, there she is. And I love our relationship because we may not even always agree, but we keep each other accountable. There's an accountability there, and it's a beautiful thing when you can do that with a sister in Christ. Another way is to have friends that point you to Christ. Some of you have some negative Nelly friends. See ya. Let them go. Hang out with people that are going to build you up in the Lord and encourage you. Okay, so this one is fun one for me. One area that I have a tendency to struggle in is I can get up in the morning and we can have our family time with our kids, you know, have devotions, and then I go up, take a shower, and I'm in a good mood. Everything's going great. Everything's wonderful. And then I step into the shower. And it's like as soon as I step in the shower, it's me and my mind. And it just starts going. Man, he didn't take out the trash. Didn't take out the trash last week. I can't believe he won't take out the trash. And then he doesn't do that either. And I can't believe that. And blah, blah, blah. And she did that. And oh, my word, I can't believe that. And my mind just starts going out. By the time I open that shower curtain, Wonder Woman does not step out. The beast comes out of the shower. And I see the man. And I'm like, rawr. And he's like, what happened in the shower? So I have found this lovely trick. I'll pass it on to all of you, but there, all of you carry those phones everywhere you go, or you have a CD player or something like that. I have tried to play music when I go in the shower. Click on that Pandora to a Christian station and just fill my mind with the words of Christ, because otherwise, the beast is coming out of the shower. I promise you that. Last one to take every thought captive. Don't listen to the news. Some of you are having a great day because you didn't watch Fox News today. Whenever you start to watch something and it's starting to really weigh you down, like the world is coming to an end, just turn it off and walk away. It is consuming your mind. It is consuming your mind. Another way to love God with all your mind is to intentionally reprogram or program your mind. Philippians 4:8 at the very bottom of that huge list says, think on these things. It doesn't say, think about all the what ifs and all the criticisms and all the negatives. No, no, no. It gives that really nice, great, long list of noble, true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think on these things. When I was only a couple years maybe married, and I read a book by Elizabeth George, and that was her whole premise, is to think about things that are true. Only what's true. It is not true that my son is going to get into an accident, necessarily. So worrying about him getting into the accident isn't good. So I need to think on what is true. What is true is we are driving and everything is fine. Okay? Everything's okay. And I think we let our minds go down these horrible rabbit trails. And we get our stomachs all worked up in knots. And we become this horrible woman that's just irritable and on edge because we're not thinking about what is true. We're thinking about all the what if. When we moved to Niles, I had another one of those times where my husband sat me down. And I was making all these plans, right? We like to make plans. We're women. We like to make plans. And so I was like, so if we move on this day, then this day this will happen, and then this will happen. And then the next hour, it would all change. And it was driving me absolutely bonkers. So Dave sat me down and he's like, here's the truth. The truth is it's going to change. You can make a plan if you want to, but it's probably going to change. So only think about what is true. And the truth is we don't know yet. So stop thinking about it so much. All right. So we have to reprogram our minds, reprogram them. Also, my thinking of God must be accurate and true. 1 Peter 1:9 says, If I confess with my mouth, sorry, I'm getting the wrong verse. I'm just going to look it up because otherwise, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So he forgives me even when I don't feel forgiven. Yes, he does. John 3:16. That very famous verse, for God so loved the world. He loves you. He loves you. So why do we doubt that? Because my thinking about God is not true. He cares for me, 1 Peter 5:7. I think a lot of times if we get to the root of what our thoughts really are, we don't believe that God really cares. Exodus 3:7, I love this verse. It tells me that God does hear, he does see, he does know. It says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, he has seen it, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. It's great because he really sums it up. He puts all of the things in there that women would be like, but does he really hear me? Does he really see? Does he know what I'm going through? Yes. Yes, he does. Absolutely. My thinking about myself must be accurate and true. Psalm 139:14. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderfully made. There are so many women that struggle right now with their body image, right? I mean, we all do it. It doesn't matter if you're skinny. You still have a problem with something going on there, I promise you. I'm flat, so, you know. I won't say it again, so. No. The Bible says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, all right? That's what we are. That is what is true. That is what we should tell our minds. He has a plan and purpose for my life. Romans 8:28 says that, right? In every season, I think that God has a new plan for you. In our church, I love our retired people and our older generation. And I think sometimes in our churches, they kind of get pushed aside. And that's a shame in my book. Because those people, no offense to us younger ones, They're the ones who are giving, they're faithful, they're there, they're praying, they're the ones who are spending the most time in God's word probably. They are those anchors at our churches. And they are the ones who are available at any moment to come and do things at your church. I love them because they will come at a moment's notice to help me with something at church, which is great. I think that every season of life has something for you. And God has a certain plan that he wants to accomplish in that season of life. So figure out what it is and then do it with all your mind, with everything that you have. He has given me spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, that's the whole list of all those gifts that he has given. And this is the problem. This is where a woman's mind goes. But I don't have the gift of playing the piano. That stinks. I'm a pastor's wife, therefore I'm not a good pastor's wife because I don't play the piano. My mother tried. She made me take lessons for a really long time. She spent a lot of money on that, and I never practiced. I was terrible. Thank goodness it worked on Amy, so that was good. But you can't focus on what talents you don't have. Stop focusing on that. I have this friend, and that's what she focuses on. She just focuses, she wants to have the talents that everybody else has, or somebody she thinks everybody else has. Use the talents that God gave you and use them with all of your mind. Use them to the utmost of your capacity. Stop thinking about what you don't have. Think about what you do have, what God gave you. I am loved and accepted by God. Romans 8, 35 to 39 talks about that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And then I'm going to finish this part with Ephesians 2:10. I am his workmanship. I am a work in progress. He's still working on me. My husband would say, amen. Amen. He's still working on that girl. Praise the Lord for that. Also, another way to love God with all my mind is my thinking about other relationships must be accurate and true. In 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, we have this phrase, and this phrase has been mulling over in my mind a lot. Love thinketh no evil. Love believeth all things. So if you put that in context of your husband, okay, think no evil. Believe him, unless it's obvious that that was not true. If I think on what is true, I'm not going to analyze and second guess things, right? So if my husband says, I love you, but I don't feel like he loves me. I don't feel it. Not feeling the love. But he said that he loved you. Yes, he needs to put some action into that love, right? But he didn't tell you that he didn't love you. So he does love you. And I think Satan likes to mess around in our minds in that area. Well, she hasn't called me in a really long time, and I must have offended her, made her mad. No, she's just been really busy. So pick up the phone and call her, okay? That's what needs to happen. I think we start to put all this second guessing and analyzing. Well, she walked right by me and she didn't say anything. She must be mad at me. No, she had something up her nose and she was walking to the bathroom. Really? If we are second guessing and trying to read between the lines, it's a dangerous game. Don't do that with your mind. Think about what is true. All right, last one, with all my strength. This is a bonus one. This one isn't listed in all the other lists like this, okay? And this is one that gets me kind of excited because I think that God threw this in for us woman power girls, okay? I think he did. I think of the picture, the old picture with the girl with the bandana. She's got her muscle up there like that. Okay, that's what I think of when I'm thinking of loving the Lord your God with all your strength. So how do I love God with all my strength? I ask and I rely on his supernatural strength to do what he's calling me to do. We've all been there. There are mountains of laundry, right? There is mountains of work to do, schedules, ministry. It's late and you have nothing left in the tank. Right? We've been there. That's when we need to ask. Remember, for those of you who came to the prayer one, ask for that supernatural strength. He has it. He's really strong. So we need to ask him for that supernatural strength, and he will give it to us. He will. Last year, we went through a building remodel at our church. It was exhausting. I mean, really exhausting. And, you know, it's a small church, and we use BCP Missionary Builders, which are excellent, by the way. I'll give them a little promo. They were really, really great. But it was a very exhausting time, and our church was all, you know, crazy messed up for a long time. And so I was asking the Lord for strength a lot through that time. But this summer, I have never felt weaker than, and I shared this in the prayer one, but I've never felt weaker. On the morning of June 20th, I got a call from my dad that my mom had unexpectedly passed away. And it was such a shock because she wasn't on any medication. There wasn't any thought that there was anything wrong with her. And she was supposed to come with me to this. She would have loved to have been here. I just felt like I had no strength. My mom, she was a doer. And she really helped me do what I love to do in the ministry by making my life a lot easier, you know, saying, hey, come over for Sunday dinner, you know, or I'm bringing a meal over, or I'm going to go do that running for Sam's Club that you need done for church, or whatever it might be. And, you know, God gave us a real privilege because 5 years ago when they retired, they came from Des Moines, where I grew up, and they moved to Niles, Ohio for their retirement. And so for 5 years, I got my mom right there next to me, first time in my married life. And she really was my right hand. Sometimes if I let my mind go very far, I wonder how I'm going to do it. He has given me supernatural strength. And he's given me just enough, just enough. Okay, let's move on. I also love God with all my strength by using all of our resources we have to serve and honor him. So use that hubby that you have. Use those children, those grandchildren, your house, your time, your money, your passions, your hobbies, your community. This community of churches, it's great. I love the fact that all these churches, I can't wait to see the board back there, all these churches represented, pooling their resources together to love God with all their strength. It is great. And then rest in his faithfulness. I found this one true. I was praying through, praising the Lord for attributes, and one day when I was praying and thanking the Lord for his faithfulness, you know, women, we do the same stuff kind of every day. You know, we have to, as soon as the laundry basket's empty, it's full. As soon as the dishwasher's emptied, it's full. Stinking, they have to eat 3 times a day, for Pete's sakes. I mean, ridiculous. And it's exhausting, right? It is exhausting. Some of you moms, you young moms with babies, God bless you. We've been there. We understand it. We know it. You haven't had a decent night's sleep in ages. Ages. You need God's supernatural strength to make it through. But God reminded me of his faithfulness. God gets it. He does. He does some of the same things every day for us. He forgives us over and over. He has the sun come up and go down. He does some of those faithful, faithful things. It just was a real comfort to me to kind of rest in his faithfulness. The last one under this one, how do I love God with all my strength, is strive to be that good and faithful servant. You know, Matthew 25:21 says that, and I want this so much. I really want to be found faithful, to not hold back, to give it all I've got, to do it with everything that I have, to persevere without fainting, to have that endurance. And that's how I can love God with all my strength. So in conclusion, I just want to say we must love God above all. We learned that yesterday, but now we must love God with all, with all. So right now, as you've been taking notes, go back maybe through and pick one, you know, give it a little mark that you're, you know, don't let your mind get crazy and be like, I'm just terrible all the time. I'm failing in every area. Just pick one. Just pick one or two things and mark that down and say, you know what, I'm going to love God more with this part. And then focus in on just that. So I asked kind of a big doozy. They asked me if there was a certain song, and I don't even know. I guess I'm getting old and farty or something, but I thought of this song, and I really, it's old. Like, when I looked at the copyright, it was like 1968. I wasn't born in 1968. I'm just telling you that. But this song, for some reason, it's old, and I get that, and hopefully the older generation can help these singers then sing it, but the words are this: only one life, so soon it will pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do his will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays. When you recall, you have but one life. Let's pray.